Hi there, this is Jerick Robbins, lifestyle entrepreneur and performance coach. I've been coaching professionals for over a decade and achieving rapid results in their life and business, and now it's time for you to do the same. The philosophy of this show is learn it, live it, give it. Learn what it takes to live a life of your dreams, turn that knowledge into action, and find a way to pay the results forward. Let's get started. Hello, everyone who's listening in on the podcast. Welcome. Today, we're going to be going old school, and we're going to be talking about the whole thought process and really simple baseline belief system. It starts out with the two thoughts. Either I can't afford that, or I can't make that happen, or that's not possible for me, versus how can I afford that? How can I make that happen? How can I make that possible for me? So this is overly simplistic. It's the whole basis and the foundation of the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And in the book, Robert Kiyosaki writes that his poor dad always said stuff like, I can't make that happen. We can't do that. We can't afford it. And his rich dad metaphorically always said, how can we afford it? How can we make it happen? How can we get that result that we're after? And so real quick, I received the email earlier today, and it was a gentleman reaching out who needed some assistance in coaching. And then he set up an appointment, and then literally he emailed me before we even talked. And he literally said, I can't afford this right now, so I don't want to waste your time. Now, two things. One, I appreciate the respect he had for our time in not taking up space. But two, I wanted to call him back and just say, dude, listen, I don't mind if you sign up or not sign up, but your mindset, if you allow the thought of I can't afford this to exist in your psychology, oh my God. Gosh, I know that's hurting you in other places that you aren't even aware of. I realize that's probably messing with your family, because there's probably, if you're married, and this is a guy that reached out, so there's probably something he would love to do with his wife, for his wife, with his children, for his children, that he keeps telling himself, we can't afford that. We can't do that. That's not possible. And I guarantee, if he were to think of the fact that what if he got run over by a bus 4 days from now, would he find a way to do it? Would he get creative? Would he get resourceful? Would he come up with some way, shape, or form to make it happen? And the truth is, he would, because his urgency now goes off of, oh my gosh, we can't do it, to, oh my gosh, how can we do it, because we only have so much time left. If you change your zoom point, your vantage point of how much time you feel you have available, literally, it changes the whole experience of what you believe is possible or what you believe is impossible. The challenge for a lot of people, what I've seen, is when you first get into a relationship, it's like, I'll do anything. Of course we can go out to a fancy dinner. Of course I'll take you on this trip. Of course I'll bring you flowers. Of course I'll do all this stuff. But then if you watch people over time, once they get comfortable, it goes from this place of anything's possible. I'll find a way. I'll make a way. I'll create a way. I'll do whatever it takes to make this happen, to, oh man, we can't afford that. And yeah, that's way out of the budget. And no, we're way off of this thing. No, we can't do these things. And this is where a lot of the passion in life dies, because the passion comes from getting creative, getting resourceful, finding a way, creating a way. Does that mean taking 5 credit cards and buying everything? No. What it does mean, though, is sitting down and saying logically, what really truly does your heart desire? What do you really, really believe in that you're passionate about, that you want to experience, or you want to share with others, or you want to make happen? And it's really switching. Let's see, victor versus victim. Absolutely. So being a victor, meaning I will find a way no matter what, being a victim, life happens. There's nothing I can do to control it. So making the decision at some point that says, hey, it is my choice to either find a way, create a way, or make a way, or it's my choice to just throw in the towel and say, oh, it's not for me, I can't do it, sorry, I'm out. And that's a decision you got to think about every single day. I've had a client recently who told me, I really want to work in this prestigious job, But since I messed it up the first time, and since I'm already 27 years old, there's no way I can do that job. And he's, in that case, someone's playing the victim, where it's saying, hey, in my mind, my story is it's not possible because at 26 years old, I'm too old for that. It's just a story. So my thought and what I'm throwing out to you in this little conversation here is I'd love for you to go through and comb through the categories of your life. I always say comb through the majors is what we talk about in our book, Live It. But comb through the major categories of your life and ask yourself, where are you being a victor? Meaning you're finding a way, you're making a way, creating a way. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You're finding a way to make it work the way you need it to or want it to. Or you're working towards it at least because you believe it's possible and you're going to make it happen. And where in your life are you being a radical and total victim? And you're sitting around thinking, it's not possible. I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I'm stuck. There's no way. And you're just telling yourself a big old story that's keeping you from getting the results you want. I remember my dad said a long time ago, the only reason you don't have exactly what you want in life is the story you keep telling yourself about why you can't have it. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right background. I was beat up as a kid. I have pimples. I'm whatever. Whatever the story is you've created over time. So my question to you is, what is the story? And if you'd like to part ways with the story, the first thing you got to figure out is, what is that story keeping you from really truly experiencing in your life? By telling yourself the story, by repeating it over and over and over again, what is it keeping you from truly experiencing? Is it keeping you from the love you really want? Is it keeping you from the friendships you desire? Is it keeping you from really, truly taking your spouse or significant other on the dream trip you've always wanted to go on? Is it keeping you from volunteering at the level you desire? Is it keeping you from being a philanthropist and giving at the level you desire? What is it keeping you from? Is it keeping you from actually going out and transforming your health and your body into what you desire, thinking, oh, I'm too far off track for that? No, you're not. You just got to put some effort, will, and focus on it. You know, what is it that it's really keeping you from doing? Let me check in real quick. We've got some comments going on here. See what everyone's up to. What's up, Facebook Live? G'day from Australia, mate. G'day to you, Joshua. Morning, Mr. J. Love listening to you. Zach, nice to see you. Let's see. See you at OSP conference in June. Awesome. I'm excited to see y'all in June at OSP. Very cool group. We've been working to customize the content up there. OSP is a team up in Michigan. We're going to one of their conferences to speak with them and have some fun. So I'm excited to be there. Victim versus victor. Absolutely. We're built to do greater things. The negative language is a huge problem. Great book, folks. Get it. Oh, thanks, sir. Janet, so true. Having mistakenly been told that I had a fatal illness, I realized a childhood dream of mine going to the UK and Alaska and took my family before it was one day or someday sort of thing. Oh, that's wonderful. Great work, Janet. So the thought process with this is comb through an area of your life, and there's many different areas, but comb through the majors of your life. Zach, when will we come into Sydney? Zach, we're trying to figure out when to get down there. We were talking with a group that might bring us down in November, if I remember correctly. They're doing a multi-speaker big event, and they asked us if we wanted to come speak at it. So we may be down there for a few thousand people. Should be fun in, I think, November. If you're on our newsletter or in our database, we'll definitely email out when we're headed that way. But hopefully it's November. Norma Jean, nice to see you. Great to see you on here. Of course, I know you're one of my students. You're in Performance Coach University. Glad to hear you're loving it. Hopefully you're having fun there. So to get back to this whole concept, where in your life are you allowing yourself to settle for stories that aren't serving you? The story of not being good enough, the story of not being prepared, the story of I can't do this because. And just answer the question. And I'll help you figure this out in case you're struggling to find it. Think of something you really, 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 really want to have or achieve or experience or create or give or any of those things. Think of something in your life that you'd like that you don't currently have or don't currently experience or aren't currently doing. And here's my question. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you experiencing it? Why don't you have it? What's the story? Now, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, tweet us. Tell us what your story is. You know, say, hey, this, my story is, and just fill it in. What is it? For those of you on the Facebook Live, I see you all. I see that number up there. If you're on the Facebook Live, someone's here. If you're on the Facebook Live, let me know, what's your story? What is it that you want, and what's the story that's keeping you from it? We may have to pause the podcast while I go check the door real quick. And we're back from our quick break here. Scott says, freedom, the thing that he really wants and desires is the freedom to go full-time in his own business. And the thing that's stopping him is health insurance costs. He has one child. Thank you for that. 16 years old. Fair enough. So here's what's interesting. Mad props to parents out there who have a children and are willing to take a job in order to provide the necessary facets for their children to have certainty. So in this case, to be able to take that job to do something that you like, but you might love it too, but it's not what you ultimately want to be doing, but you're willing to do it because it provides this security. It provides the insurance for yourself, for your child. One thing that'd be very, very, very interesting is the story of insurance is something that's close to home. I was in a different position than you, though. But when I first started, I remember that was something one of my family members brought up. When I said I wanted to leave the company I was working for and go start my own company, I remember someone in my family told me, but what about insurance? You know, you get hurt once and poof, there goes everything. You're going to have huge bills and that's going to be so difficult to dig your way out of. And I said, that's true. And I freaked out a while. And I thought about it, and I was like, oh, man, that's good. Oh, geez, I could mess up. I mean, I looked up average bills. It could be like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And I sat there. It was really fascinating as I went and looked up how much insurance would be, and not just any insurance, but like the best insurance. And when I ran across the numbers for the best insurance at the time for a single guy, I think in my 24 years old, healthy, all this other stuff, I think it was like $200-$300 a month at the time. I realized times has changed. Insurance costs are much higher right now. But I realized at the moment, I was like, holy smokes. I almost gave up my whole vision, my whole dream of having my own business and doing my own thing over a couple $100. And don't get me wrong, a couple $100 was a big deal at the moment when I was 24 years old and just getting started. It was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And I got to make sure I get it every month. Otherwise, I'm kind of in trouble. But at the same time, it was a $200 barrier to something. And I realized as much as the $200 was a barrier, it was more of something I was giving myself as a story of why I couldn't have it. Because as soon as I stepped over the line and went for it, I was able to really build my business quick. We generated, I think in the first 8 months, we did $100,000 in revenue, which was awesome for 24 years old. And my overhead was maybe a couple $1,000s a month at the time. And so what was amazing was when I got to the other side, I looked back, and this usually happens, but I looked back and went, wow, it wasn't as hard as I thought. That was a lot easier than imagined. Now, it still took a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of everything, but it wasn't as scary as it sounded in the beginning, and that's what happens for most people. I give you a really funny example. Think of the first time you moved out from home. Now, for most people, it was usually a somewhat pleasurable experience. For other people, they got kicked out or something. So sorry to bring up a bad memory. But the time when you first left home, usually it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? How am I going to pay my rent? What's going to happen? What about the bills? What about this? What about that? Ah! And then, a few weeks later, you live in your own apartment. You're like, well, that was easy. What the heck was I so freaked out about? Like, what was that? And it's funny because many times we build up such a story and all this anxiety and emotion and all this stuff. At the same time, you take the step over the ledge, you look back and go, wow, that was not even close to as scary as I thought it was going to be. And it was pretty freaking easy too. So looking at this and thinking about this, going back to Scott, is the reason you're staying for the certainty and security of the insurance for yourself and your family? Or is the insurance more of just something you've come up with that kind of helps you say, well, maybe it's not yet the time to go? I'd love to know that. Because I don't know what position you're in there. The other factor that I've always learned before expanding or stepping out on my own or going and doing something like that, what I've always learned is always set up a three to six, you know, 3 to 6 month kind of buffer financially. So look at your overhead, no matter what it is. Get to know your overhead. So scrutinize every penny you're spending, comb through every credit card statement, look everything that's on auto pay, whether it's Hulu or the internet or whatever it is, and figure out if there's anything for the next so many months you might be able to squeeze down on. Now, this is really important, even for a large business out there. I remember we did this with a family company that's in our family, and we looked at one of the bills they had, and it's a pretty big company, a few hundred employees, and their light bill was $10,000 a month for electricity. We were like, whoa, I bet if we tighten that down somehow, we could save a bunch of money as a company. And they came up with an initiative, which was turn the lights off when you're not in this part of the office. They started doing it, put up little signs, got it to work. And they started saving, you know, thousands of dollars a month just on electricity. It's the same thing for most people in your own budget and personal life, is if you look around in your life, there's usually little things you've subscribed to online, little things you've bought, little things that have added up, little things you do, that if you really tighten down, you could save a ton of money every month. Now, if you save that money, let's say for just 6 months, maybe it could stack up to be enough as a buffer that'll give you the chance to step out on your own for 3, 6, 12 months and really give it a go in this business you want to do. And that way you have your buffer. So just in case something goes wrong, you don't lose your insurance. You have enough to pay it and pay the rent and mortgage and all that stuff. And it sets you up in a position that you're now able to take that leap, knowing that you got the padding or the parachute behind you to save you. And that's always been my approach. Even when I decide, hey, we're here and we want to grow into a bigger property or travel more, do something, I always sit down and say, well, what's the hard cost of that going to be month to month? Let me save up 3 to 6 months of it just in case something goes unexpected. That way I have the parachute. Now that I'm set up, boom, get moving. Let's see. I've decreased my overhead already. Awesome. Got it. Leap of faith. So it's time to go. Very cool. So I'd love to know, and so everyone can hold you accountable who's watching and listening, when is your date that you're going to go for it? Are you going to take a few weeks and, you know, mentally prepare and visualize it every day and practice and prepare yourself? Are you going to, you know, call it Monday and say, you know what? That's it. Let's roll. I'd love to know. June 15th. Oh, man. It's coming up. Very cool. So if you're going to take that leap and you're going to go for it, which congratulations and thank you for participating here, here's my question. What's everything you need to prepare for mentally, emotionally, and physically so that by the time June 15th hits, it's not a like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, it got so close. What are we going to do? Ah! It's not that. It's more like, today's the day. Let's roll, man. And you are so prepared, so ready, mentally, emotionally, physically, that by the time the date shows up, you wake up on that morning and you're like, it's done already. I've already laid the foundation. Everything's already set up. This is the easiest day of my life because I've been preparing so much for it that I wake up and go through it with ease. And that's the thing to consider. When you're going to take that leap of faith, when you're going to step out into the unknown, the big thing to do is prepare, 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 prepare. That way, by the time the day shows up, easy peasy. You walk through it with a breeze. It's more mental. Absolutely. And so the thing is, you're spot on. So you say it's more mental. Then the consideration becomes going back to a tool we teach all the time, which is how to fill up and fuel up. It's how do you create mental resilience? How do you create that urgency, but also that mental and emotional strength from the inside? So the thought of if you were a can of pop or soda, and we opened it up and poured it out and handed it to a small child, most people, what's interesting is most children would be able to dent it. And if they, you know, use enough weight, even a small child could crush that can. And the truth is that's how most people prepare for things is they wake up, they think about something in the future. And if the can represents 100%, there may be 25 to 50% full, which makes it very easy to dent or crush their dream. Versus if you created a routine for the next, I think you got just about 30 days. If, yeah, 13, so 33, 34 days. So for the next 30 something days, if every single day you created a mental routine to visualize your ideal outcome, to mentally rehearse how it's going to go, to see yourself. And mental rehearsal, visualization is seeing the perfect ideal situation happen. Mental rehearsal is seeing exactly what you want to have happen, seeing natural obstacles that are going to occur, a day that doesn't turn out like you want it to, a transaction that goes south, stuff that happens. It's like, oh man, it happened. I wish it didn't, but it did. See yourself get emotionally caught up, see yourself kind of get knocked down or knocked out, and then see yourself brush it off, stand up, take a breath, and successfully cruise through it. And if you prepare yourself where you not only visualize the best and ideal outcome, but then you also practice mentally rehearsing the challenges, but successfully getting through them, and you repeat the process again and again and again, pretty soon you'll start to feel confident. And confidence comes from experience. Experience comes from many times, in this case, mentally experiencing it again and again and again until it seems natural and normal. Now when it happens, it seems like you've done it 1,000 times. It's totally normal. It's nothing new or fear. You know, it's nothing that'll bring up fear or anxiety because you've done it 1,000 times in your head for the last 30-something days. Now from there, affirmations, incantations, which means you want to build up the internal emotional juice and link it up to what you want. So one for me, when I prepare for the day, I always say, you know, I'm an open channel for God. His love flows through me, filling the room, filling the hearts, and touching the souls of everyone around me daily. Because I imagine that's what we do. We're here to challenge the status quo and illuminate the true potential in each and every person we cross paths with. So as we go out into the world, we cross paths with people all day long. And my thought is I want to illuminate them and bring them to life at the highest level. And so this thought is, you already do those every day. Perfect. So that thought of building up. And so the question would become, what else do you have to include in a morning and evening routine for the next 30 days so that by the time that 30 days is there, you already have so much mental, emotional, and physical momentum that you feel unstoppable and you cross that, you know, the starting line with ease. And again, it's crossing the starting line because that's day one of you stepping out on your own and going for it. So mental rehearsal, visualization, physically working out and getting yourself to be the strongest version of yourself for that day, that will make a difference. Amazing sleep and rest and rejuvenation of your body will probably help. But if you kept going down the list, what other things, and this is for everybody, would you have to do to prepare for the day that you're going to step forth and transition or start whatever it is you want to start or do whatever you want to do? That's where I would leave you today. Make that list and then literally put it into action for the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. I have to run because we have a date night tonight, but I hope this is helpful. If you know someone who needs to hear this information, please hit the share button, tell them what it's about, and make them listen. And I will see y'all tomorrow.